Morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to come together and to worship to you. And we are asking now, Lord, to allow us to gaze on you and to see your glory. And we would like to hear your word and bless everyone to be an effectual doer, listening to your word and also having desire to fulfill in our lives. And also, we're asking to help me to teach only your precepts and help us together to continue to worship you by being obedient to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Finish well your race. And Paul said, we have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. And that was the statement of Paul in the end of his life, because he was viewing his life as a race, and he wanted to finish his race. And I can say that nobody who calls himself a child of God will ever feel fulfilled and happier if he will not get engaged in God's mission left for you, especially for him on this earth. And since we would like to live a fulfilled, excited life, we would like to hear what the Bible says about our mission on this earth. First of all, we will have obstacles. And you know that we will have obstacles on this earth. And the first obstacle is that we are losing very, very fast our focus. And we are easily are getting entangled by the duties of life. And look what what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:29.
The time has been shortened so that we, from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who buy as though they did not possess, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern.
You know about two big problems. One is weariness of life, and the second is deceitfulness of the wealth. And what the Lord is telling us today, he is telling us about the mobilization, about the urgency, about the focus, that even though we live in this on this earth, we should not let this earth control us. And we should remain focused on the mission which God left for us. But you know also that the mission is connected with a lot of hardship and sufferings. And that's why, humanly thinking, sometimes we are scared to get involved in God's mission, because God said, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And also Paul said, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. And naturally, every one of us would like to avoid persecution. But the same Jesus said following words. From one side, we are encouraged to get involved with full commitment, surrendering to God, and to let him fulfill his mission in us. And from one side, we have that means sufferings. But from other side, Jesus said, no, that means excitement. That means joy. That means a life full of meaning. And if you look in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find five times that the heroes of the Bible, they received on this earth this confidence that they are pleasing God. Enoch, before he was raised to heaven, he received this confidence. And that's the most amazing joy which we can get on this earth, to get this confidence that we are living a meaningful life. We are living a life according to God's will. And that's why don't get scared. If you will make a decision to follow God with full heart, you will get only excitement, even in sufferings. And if you are still wondering where is your mission, look at the following verses and you'll understand that you can find your mission somewhere here in these verses, because Jesus left for us a very clear commandment. We call that Great Commission. And he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Paul said also that we have to look for those faithful, reliable men and to entrust the word and to teach them how to pass that word to the next generation. Also, we know that from 2 Timothy 2:15 that every one of us will appear before Christ and will give account what we've done with the received word. And here, Paul said that we have to pass that word in a most accurate way. And if you are not, you are still not convinced that your mission is involved with discipleship, listen to this.
Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns.
So Jesus said that he entrusted us with the duty to feed other slaves in proper time. So that's the mission which every one of us got, and you have a specific part in that mission. You can find numerous verses in the Bible telling us that our duty is to build up one another, is to admonish one another. And that's why I'm not here today to convince you, because the Bible, I think, that is convincing you that we have to allow somebody to invest in us, and in the proper time, we have to invest in somebody else. The author of Hebrews said, by this time, you ought to be teachers. And look at you, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. He's rebuking his audience because they had to come already to the level when they will teach others. And look at them, they remain on the milk level, and they are still are receivers, consumers, and not those who give, who serve, who are investing in others. And here, from this statement, we can find out that every one of us, every single disciple, the one who calls himself as a child of God, is called to get mature, to become mature, and to invest his life in somebody else. But, of course, you cannot be a teacher without being a disciple first. It's interesting when I'm teaching in the church, and I'm asking to raise up the hands those who feel like they are teachers. I'm just asking teachers to raise up their hands, and I usually have a few hands raised up, but when I'm asking who think that this morning he's a disciple, and I have all the hands raised up. But more interesting is that after the church, the people are coming to ask me how to teach others. They're not coming to ask me how to allow somebody to teach them. And that's why I think that that's the first step. Jesus didn't trust anyone with this mission, go and make disciples, except those who have been discipled first. And when I came to know Christ, I met my teachers. That was a couple, me and Costello Oglici from Romania. And I followed them everywhere. I followed the teaching, but also I followed their lives. And we've been in a lot of situations when my legs got freezed in one country, in other country, in Afghanistan or Iran, Iraq. We've been through a lot of dangerous situation. But in every place, I was learning from the Bible and looking at the application of that Bible in somebody's life. And I saw that that's an amazing way of learning when the truth from the Bible becomes alive in somebody's life. And that's what the Bible is teaching us. Before you start teaching somebody else, you have to allow to be taught by the Word of God. And everyone will agree that we need accountability partner. You remember that illustration I gave a few months ago when I asked you to allow a teacher to take you by hand, but also give your hand to a disciple. And immediately all our church got connected through a network of ligaments which made us united. And I, as a person, were staying between two people. And if I fall, immediately two people will sense that, will feel that, because they are connected with me. And that's how the church becomes united, through teacher-disciple relationship. Because Jesus started his ministry before any public speech he had, one goal, to start with that group of disciples. After that, he taught them 3 years how to disciple others. In the end, he said, go and do what I taught you. And if you look in the first church, you'll find that every teacher had a disciple, and you'll not find a Christian who wasn't discipled by someone. Paul had a Barnabas. Apollos had Priscilla, and every single one had a teacher. And that's why we need someone to give access to into our inner life. The one who will watch over us, the one who will have the authority to rebuke us, to direct us to the right path. And when that one will sense that we are losing our passion for Christ, when we are losing our direction, he will just bring us back. And that's why we can find out, just looking at the teachers and looking at their disciples, five steps. And I have all of them here on this slide. First of all, a teacher will look for a disciple, but a disciple will look for a teacher also. Because many people are talking now about discipleship, and discipleship is not clear until you are getting actually involved in the process. And now awakening is happening in America. Many churches started to talk about this important subject because Jesus left only one model, which is discipleship. We should not invent new project because he left already for us one model. He left for us only one tool, that's the Bible. And he left for us only one power, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and only one way, the way of love. And that's why first step, if you'd like to understand how to finish your race well, you have to get involved. And first step is look for a teacher. The second is the teacher will teach you the Word of God, but you have to have the teachable spirit, the desire to eat that Word of God. Third, the teacher will teach you through personal example. Many people are teaching now what we have to do, but not showing how to do that. And that's why the teacher will have desire to spend time with you, but if you will make yourself available. And that's why the third step is make yourself available and be ready to spend time with the teacher or with the mentor God appointed upon you. Because you should not look for a teacher somewhere else except in the church, because Jesus said that he appointed teachers in the church to equip the saints and to prepare them to be servants. That's why the third step will be make yourself available to a teacher and spend time with him. The fourth step, the teacher will involve you in the ministry in the right time, only if you allow him to involve you. And that's why the fourth step is allow your teacher to get you involved in the ministry. But the fifth step, very important, the teacher will release you, will allow you to get involved in your specific mission, which God left for you on this earth. But you will continue to pray for your teacher, to seek advice, to keep the communication. And that's what is happening with our kids. There is a time in the life when you have to release them to go and to fulfill their mission in this life. And that's when you will really appreciate if they will call you back, if they will keep the communication in you. And that's true for a disciple. And that's why let's look in the Bible where we find the first principle. And the first step you'll find in this passage.
John chapter 1, verses 35 and 39. The next day John was there with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him.
The John's disciples heard the testimony about Jesus, and they immediately ran after him, and they said, "Teacher." So in other words, they asked to be received as disciples. And the second question was, "Where are you staying?" Because in that time, teacher and disciple literally lived together. Where are you staying? And did Jesus receive them as disciples? Yes. He said, "Let's go." He invited them to follow him, and the whole day he spent with those two people. Just think about that. The God of universe will close himself up in a room, spending all the time with two disciples. I don't think that the President of the United States of America will give you more than 10 or 15 minutes. Or if you are very special, maybe 1 hour. But the God of the universe spent the whole day, and after that he spent all the eternity with his disciples. And that's why here we see that the disciples looked for a teacher. And if you have that spirit which Isaiah had, and you can see in Isaiah 50, verse 4, he said that God gave him years of a disciple and the tongue of a teacher. That's why we have 2 years to start listening first, learning, studying, and after that we'll start teaching somebody else. The second step is that a disciple has a teachable spirit. And when you look at those 12 apostles, 12 disciples, nothing interesting, nothing extraordinary you'll find in them. They were a blue-collar man, but they had something in common. They already joined the revival process which John started. They were seekers. They were not pleased with the religion of those days, and they wanted something more. And that's why they would always follow Jesus and will say, "Teacher, what do you mean? Why'd you say that? Why you are speaking in parables?" And they were asking questions. And always when you teach an audience, you'll have some people coming and asking questions. And we cannot define that better than Jesus defined in John chapter 8. He said, as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So every one of us believed in Jesus. That's very good. And that's what I'm saying usually in the summertime when we go with the church to do camps. Many people, hundreds of people are coming forward to pray to receive Christ. And I'm saying, good, but who knows if you really accepted Christ? You'll know when you'll go back home and if you'll have a hunger for the Word of God, which you didn't have before. That will be a sign, evidence that you are a born-again Christian, because a child would like to eat. And that's why Jesus said here, you believed, but that's something inside of you. Who knows if you really believed? Second, if you are holding to Jesus' teaching, that means if you are making the Word of God a priority, a discipline of your life. Everyone knows that we have to study the Word of God, but just try to ask yourself, how much time did you allow God this week to work with you? How much were you exposed to the Word of God? And that's why Jesus said, if you'll remain, if you'll stay in the Word of God, what will happen third? You'll get to know the truth. And we are not discovering the truth in one day. Today a little bit, tomorrow a little bit, and what will that bring into our lives will bring real freedom. And that's why I'm telling to those youth, if you'll not have that hunger, that means that you are not born again Christian, but even that doesn't matter. If you'll join a Bible study group, you will get to know the truth, and the truth anyway will give you, will bring you to freedom. And that's why the second desire of a real disciple, and everyone who receives Christ is a disciple, is to let God to transform our hearts through His amazing Word, which is God-breathed and full of Spirit. A third step is to follow teacher's example.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. "Now you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them."
Look, he said, you followed my, and first of all he put, look there, teaching. That's why you can follow, you can still follow an imperfect teacher if he's following Jesus' teaching and he's following his steps. We are all imperfect, and we will deal only with the imperfect people on this earth. But if a teacher is teaching the Word of God, not his opinion. Second, if that teacher is following Jesus, and you can see that in his life, you can follow such a teacher. But look, second, you followed my life. Why? Because he was present. He was present with Paul. And that's why you'll not be able to follow somebody's life if you'll not make yourself available. With the disciples in this church, I started with one meeting a week. But with some, we have now four or five meetings a week. And that's a challenge in this busy era. Because you have to give up with something, we have to change our schedule, we have to make ourselves available. And when Paul met Timothy, he took him with him everywhere because Timothy allowed him to be taken. And that's why, look, teaching, conduct, but third, the vision, the purpose-oriented life. That was a great example, and I will not go further, but look at verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned. Continue in the teaching. Become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them. So Timothy was easier to study the Word of God because he will have the Word of God and he will have the application of that Word of God in somebody's life. And that's why we are so short of models now. We need models. We need in the church people to follow. We need those people who will say, follow me, I know the way. And that's why we as a disciple have to make ourselves available and to spend time together. That doesn't mean that you'll have only that class format teaching. That means that you'll be together during barbecue, birthday parties, traveling together, being involved in the ministry together, and you'll learn a lot. When I think about my teachers, I always value what I learned from them. For example, they taught me to do everything possible to keep the peace with everyone as much as depends on me. And that's something which I saw in their lives. I never seen that they raised up their voices because they understood, they taught me that we have to live a humble life. I don't say that I was a good disciple, but at least I saw many things in their lives which helped me to learn what the Bible says about these things. Step four, get involved in ministry, remaining loyal to the teacher authority. And that sounds really strange. But look at the last chapters in Paul's, in every of his letters. And you'll find some commands which sound strange to us. He was telling Timothy, go, pick up Mark, come soon to me. So, and you'll not find that false, I would say, courtesy in their relationship, because they brought their relationship to a level when they understood that they are receiving everything from God and they have to obey. And listen what the Bible says about that. Do you see that Timothy, he led Paul to get him involved. And Timothy will be sent to a huge part of that ancient world to fulfill God's commands. And when I'm calling now to Moscow and I'm asking somebody to go to Siberia or to other country, I'm so, so pleased that I don't hear a lot of excuses. I hear people saying, okay, I will make myself available and I will do that. And that's what we are called to do, is to get involved our disciples in the right time in the ministry. Because if I will take my son to every football game and will show him how to play and will explain to him the rules but will not let him actually play, he'll get disappointed. And that's why a good teacher in right time will get you involved in the ministry if you will allow him to get involved. And that's why today we are focused only on disciple, because we would like to be a good disciple. And also the author of Hebrews says, obey your leaders Obey your teachers, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this will not be unprofitable for you. So, and with shame, I recognize how many times I brought to my teachers more grief than joy. And we are called to obey. And that's hard. Nobody wants to obey because we would like to have an independent life. The wife would like to be independent from the husband. The husband would like to be independent from economical situation. The government would like to be independent, as is happening today, from the people, people from the government. And all together we would like to be independent from God. But that's not what God was called us to do. And to learn obedience, it's hard, but it's necessary. The fifth step. The teacher one day will release us. Because the teacher didn't invest his life to make you his disciple. He'll release you to do the mission which God has given for you. But also, we know that it's very good to keep the relations with that teacher, to pray for him, and we find that in many, many scriptures. Also, to keep communication. If it's possible to support your teacher, do that, because that's what Paul was teaching in Galatians chapter 6 and in many other places. And we see a good example of Epaphroditus, who was sent by his disciples from Philippi. We know also that Onesiphorus, he looked for Paul, and he was not ashamed by his chance, and on contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for Paul, and he found him. And now Paul is telling to Timothy that you know how many times and in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. And that's a right attitude of a true disciple. Now we understand that God did not call us only to have a race. He called us to have a race full of joy, full of excitement, because the final goal is to glorify God, entrusting in him and allowing him to perfect our faith. And if you'll do that, you'll have the desire to get involved in somebody's life and to help somebody also to glorify God with his life. But we know that we will have obstacles. And one of the obstacles is when we are getting too much worry with our families, with ourselves, when we are allowing the worries and the deceitfulness of the wealth to conquer our souls. And that's why God said, stay focused, be in alert, watch out, and feel that urgency that now, today is the day when you have to commit to Christ and to get involved in the mission which he called you to do. You know that your mission in one way or another is connected with making disciples. And you know also that the first step is to let somebody to mentor you. And you'll find those mentors in the church. And I'm so glad that I see those mentors. And I see how Irina Podgorny started a Bible study with non-Christians, and she passed almost the whole Gospel of John with a group of non-Christians, and two of them are coming now to the church. I know about John, that he's discipling someone. I know about Rick, he's discipling someone. And that's what we'll have to do, every one of us, because we would like to finish well our race. And let's look at a video and to understand that we are here to help each other to finish the race.
Yeah.
Patience, patience, that's what we are learning. In meantime, we'll pray. Many people started, but not everyone finished. And you'll not remember the champions of that Olympic Games. But the world will remember Derek, the one who finished the race. And we are called to finish the race. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so proud that you gave us such a great mission. A mission to fulfill on this earth. And we know that we have everything to do that. We have your Spirit, we have your Bible, we have the love which you poured in our hearts, and now we know that we have also helpers in the church. We have those mentors who can stay aside and help us to finish the race. Lord, just make us, first of all, a disciple, and help us to remain a disciple for the rest of our lives. But also, in the right time, just point our hearts to those who need our help. And teach us how to invest our lives in them. How to exercise your love, which you has given for us. And we believe that every one of us, with your help, will finish the race. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.